As we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to read upon the scriptures for today. We're still in 1 Samuel, now in the 17th chapter. I'm going to read verse 31, and then I think the slides will pick up on 32. Before I read, let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time. We thank you for your scriptures for us for today. We thank you for the ways in which you are at work in our lives and how through the scriptures we can see and feel and know that you are with us through the toughest challenges of life, that you never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Lord, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. 1 Samuel 17, 31 through 49. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he's been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw and strike it down and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I am not used to them." So David removed them, and he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones and put them in his shepherd's bag in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David with a shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you came to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine drew near and met David, to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. This is one of the greatest well-known stories in the scriptures. There are few stories that capture the imagination. They're like David and Goliath. Here are two armies in their camps and each occupying the side of the mountain with the valley in between them. And out of the camp of the Philistines comes this giant Goliath, the champion of the group, with an interesting proposal to save bloodshed. It would be good for just two men to fight in the battle, and whoever is victorious on the battlefield will claim the other's army. This wasn't a bad proposition or challenge if the two were matched evenly, but here was this man nearly 9 feet tall, weighing over 300 pounds, whose spearhead alone weighed about 20 pounds. Goliath came every day for about 40 days to present the challenge to the Israelites, wanting battle. However, one day David comes upon the scene and observes the Israelites running back in fear. And so young David cries out, "Who is this Philistine that defies the armies of the living God?" And so he immediately presents himself to Saul and offers his services to meet this giant in battle. When Saul makes the excuse that he's too young, David replies that he's already killed a bear and a lion in combat and that he could take on this giant Goliath. Finally, knowing that something needed to be done and seeing no one else stepping up to fight Goliath or volunteer to fight Goliath, Saul consented and gave David permission to go into battle. And he put this armor on him. It kind of reminded me of Levi trying to be catcher in Little League this year. It wasn't a pretty sight. You could barely walk and move. But he put this armor on him. It was so heavy he couldn't move. And he took the armor off, and instead he went down to the stream. He picked up 5 smooth stones and a slingshot, and with his slingshot, he was going to go meet Goliath in battle. 2 armies facing off, 2 people facing off. The bad guys have a giant, 9 feet tall, 300 pounds. The good guys have a shepherd boy. You know, the theme of the encounter between David and Goliath continues in the same kind of thought process and way of thinking as last week, where what really matters to God is not the same that matters to the world. In a world where age matters and strength matters and maybe military expertise matters, God sees differently. God doesn't judge based on the outside appearance, but God sees the heart and the desires us to have a godly heart. You see, when our heart is in tune with God and connected to God, it is then we're able to see where God is leading us. And it's often through those challenging moments of life, through those trials and through the temptations and through the challenges, that he's with us and gets us on the other side. The story of David as the underdog is a familiar to us because there's so many modern-day versions of it. There are hundreds of movies. Well, I think every movie has some kind of, you know, underdog character to it. They've been like that for years, Hoosiers and The Karate Kid. We watched Garfield the other day, and Garfield was the underdog who had to overcome. I know my favorite movie of underdog stories is Rudy. Rudy Ridiger, who wants to play football at the University of Notre Dame, but neither has the money for tuition nor the grades to qualify for a scholarship. And so Rudy redoubles his efforts to wanting to get out of that steel mill business that his father worked at, that he had a friend who passed away. And overcoming dyslexia, thanks to his friend and tutor, D-Bob, Rudy gains admission to Notre Dame. Rudy doesn't want to just go to Notre Dame. He wants to play football at Notre Dame. If you haven't seen the movie, maybe you have. Here's the trailer. Let's see if it works.
After high school, I'm going to play football at Notre Dame.
Chasing a stupid dream causes nothing but you and everyone around you heartache.
The problem with dreamers is they usually are not doers.
Are you fully aware of the sacrifices you're going to have to make?
It's the most beautiful campus in the world.
Having dreams is what makes life tolerable.
Notre Dame is for rich kids, smart kids, great athletes.
It's not for us.
Ever since I was a kid, I wanted to go to school here. And ever since I was a kid, everybody said it couldn't be done. I always listened to them and believed what they said. I don't want to do that anymore.
Hey, kid! Not supposed to be here.
Not everyone is meant to go to college.
I need your help.
Why should I help?
I just want to be a part of this university.
You're nuts.
Yeah, a lot of people have been telling me that lately.
Sometimes a winner is a dreamer who just won't quit.
Hey, you guys, my son's going to Notre Dame.
I'm here to play football for the Irish.
I wish God would put your heart in some of my players' bodies.
You're 5 feet nothing, 100 and nothing, and you got hardly a speck of athletic ability. In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself.
A true story from the creators of Hoosiers.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
One of my favorite movies of all time, maybe because I could relate to Rudy. I only tried to play football in 7th and 8th grade and then gave it up. But this 5 foot nothing, 100 and nothing pound kid just trying to make it. One can't help but want Rudy to succeed, and towards the end of the movie, one can't help but cheer, Rudy, Rudy. Rudy. We like to root for the underdog, especially if we don't have a real dog in the fight. Sometimes we just know it's a long shot and we don't want to get our hopes up or get disappointed, but we root anyway. I'm even rooting for A&M in this College World Series. We hope, sometimes we invest. We just want the world to be just. The challenging story about David and Goliath can seem like the story of our life. You know, I'm sure for those who are just trying to make another payment for their house or car so it doesn't get repossessed, or it can seem like David and Goliath. I'm sure for families who are just trying to put food on their table, it can feel like David and Goliath. I'm sure for people going for another chemo treatment, it can feel like David and Goliath. I feel for a church who seeks and strives to love unconditionally and be people who desire this world to be a place like heaven, in a world that is filled with news of shootings and war, storms. It can feel like David and Goliath. This morning's story gives us hope that God wins. It's a fresh picture of bold and courageous faithfulness of God as reflected in David's character. When someone's life is so integrated with God's life, then leading is the living out of that call. It means that we say yes, even when the odds are against us, for it is that we see God do more than we could ever dream or imagine. It's always a great feeling when we can see and hear crowds cheering us on, like happened at the end of Rudy. It feels good, and it gets us pumped up about what we're doing, but you see, sometimes it's just about doing what we are supposed to do when no one's looking. And that happens more often than the cheers. You see, when God is leading us, and when we're obedient to that call of God, the voices from heaven are rejoicing and giving thanks for the boldness to fight the good fight, to run the race that God has put before us. When God leads us, it's often astonishing and remarkable. And sometimes it is in the form of the least expected. More often than not, it is through maybe the smile from a child. Maybe it's seeing a baby in a manger. Maybe it's watching the shepherd boy do something that no one expected him to be able to do. When God leads us, friends, we're able to accomplish more than we could ever dream or imagine. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to be part of a community of faith as we seek to be the people and to live a life that brings hope to the world, that brings peace to the world, that helps to bring your justice to the world in the face of oppression and hate and injustice. And so, Lord, maybe the crowds aren't there to cheer us on, but Lord, may we continue to fight the fight that you have called us to. May we continue to run the race that you put before us. May we do that as you lead us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.